Oh, have you ever wondered why laundry detergent comes in massive plastic jugs? Who even wants that? 91% of those inconvenient, awkward, heavy, awful jugs end up in landfills and oceans. They harm our planet. They're mostly water, by the way.
Ugh.
And there has to be a better way because it's not like you can stop doing laundry. That is why Kathleen and I have switched to Earth Breeze.
You know, Bethany, Earth Breeze takes up so little space in my house, and you know that I have a problem with clutter.
Yeah.
So Earth Breeze was like a no-brainer for me. It gets my clothes the same amount of clean, if not cleaner, than regular liquid detergent. And it's just so much better for the earth that I don't see why anyone wouldn't want to use a laundry sheet like Earth Breeze.
You tear them off. They dissolve completely in any temperature of water. They're even compatible with your high-efficiency washers, those gray water systems, and they're septic safe. They take up one slim package of space on your shelf, and they don't leave a ring of sticky detergent behind.
And how many times have you been like, oh no, I'm out of laundry detergent, and you start pouring water into the jug and shaking it up to like get out the last little bit? Well, you know what? Earth Breeze has a flexible subscription plan, which will make your life so much easier. I love getting products delivered to my house with a subscription. And the Earth Breeze subscription plan can be adjusted, paused, or canceled at any time. No contracts and no fees.
Using Earth Breeze is better for the planet. That's why I use it. It's so much easier and it doesn't weigh a million pounds, which is mostly water, which you're using again in the washing machine anyway. So why are you paying for extra water?
Tough on stains, fights odors. There's no downside here.
So switch from the old-fashioned goo to something new. Right now, you can subscribe to Earth Breeze and save 40%.
Go to earthbreeze.com/taste to get started.
That's earthbreeze.com/taste for 40% off.
earthbreeze.com/taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
We're best friends who also happen to be polar opposites.
I'm a colorful extrovert rising.
And I'm a goth introvert.
We're both curious weirdos and we both love cats.
But that might be the only thing we have in common.
We are an acquired taste.
Kathleen, it's time for one of our favorite segments. Typically, you do the segment, but I'm stealing it from you this week.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Steal away, my friend.
It is Weird News Rundown.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, I really want to start with this story that rocked my world because you know what a huge fan I am of Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say. I saw it on CBS Sunday morning.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex may not have had its teeth bearing as widely as we think. In fact, it may have had lips.
Okay. Wait, this isn't at all the story that I thought you were going to do.
What story did you think I was going to talk about?
I thought you were going to talk about that story that just came out, how scientists, and I believe it's specifically in San Diego, they are taking DNA from animals that are quote-unquote extinct and bringing them back to life.
Wait, why are they quote-unquote extinct?
Hang on one second. So continue with the Tyrannosaurus Rex lips.
Okay. So, you know, we picture the T-Rex having this wide open, like, roar with giant freaking teeth coming out of its mouth. So researchers realized that animals like the T-Rex, or now crocodiles and alligators who have giant friggin' teeth that just stick out of their mouths.
Yeah.
There has been shown that over time during the animal's life, there's like severe wearing down of the teeth because there's nothing to protect it, right? But when they found T-Rex skeletons and fossils, the teeth are in really, really good shape, which leads them to believe that the teeth were protected by a scaly lip similar to what Komodo dragons have.
Oh my God.
So with Komodo dragons, you don't really even see their teeth.
Yeah.
And that's probably what T-Rexes were like.
Oh my God, Bethany, this changes everything.
Everything.
They look like this. They look like your grandpa Elliot.
I'm a T-Rex, but don't be afraid of me. I'm wearing lip plumper.
It's like if you go back and think about any of the Jurassic Park movies when that T-Rex screams, it's now just more like, bring me my heating pad.
Get me some food, little fella. Okay, so this is the story that I thought you were going to be doing.
Okay.
CBS Sunday Morning, you know, that is a program that I really miss watching for whatever reason. Neil and I just like used to watch it every Sunday morning before the pandemic. And then we just kind of, I think, stopped using it as a marker to be in our week because every week was exactly the same during the
All
pandemic.
Days were the same. Yeah.
And so yesterday they started doing this story about how scientists are extracting DNA from animals like the dodo bird. And a handful of other animals to bring them back, like animals that they thought once upon a time were extinct.
Well, they were, but they were extinct. They are extinct, right?
Yeah. They went into, I don't know, they retired from humanity.
They disappeared because we killed them all.
From the world. Scientists are bringing them back, and they have had some success with a handful of animals. I think the San Diego Zoo is the one that's heading this whole experiment, but they were sure to tell us on CBS Sunday Morning that dinosaur DNA is too old to really extract anything useful to bring dinosaurs back.
I think that's probably wise, but I also think that maybe they're not trying hard enough. Like, I agree that this goes back to my whole argument that if they were able to make Jurassic Park real and there was an island where the dinosaurs were back, they were doing a soft launch of the island and you were given press passes, would you go? And your husband and I got into the biggest argument because he said no and I said that he was a wuss.
Bethany, don't even get me started on Mr. Practicality over there. I'm just like, you know, let's just suspend belief, you know, for a second.
Sure.
And this is a man that cannot suspend belief, Bethany.
That's fine, but let's say it's real. Kathleen, are you going to Jurassic Park? It's 3 to 4 days, all expenses paid. The helicopter ride to Isla Nublar is free.
Yeah.
You're going to be staying in like an awesome little, like some type of cabin, you know, like a dinosaur themed cabin. They've spared no expense. Do you go to Jurassic Park?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
But I get a license to carry before I go.
You come, but you come packing.
Listen, I love questions like this. I love fantasizing. I am somebody who is never bored because should I have nothing to do, I lay down and close my eyes and daydream.
Yeah, totally. What would I do if I was invited to Jurassic Park?
Like, do you ever get bored?
No.
No, I never get bored.
There's always too much to do. Second of all, boredom is actually a luxury that I feel like we don't have anymore because Instagram exists and TikTok exists. And so it sort of keeps your brain from feeling that boredom that maybe would normally elicit some creativity.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm just going to numb myself with my phone now.
No, I hear you. And so Neil is somebody who I'm always like, I say these like outlandish things and I'm like, what if blah, 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 blah. And he goes and he looks me dead in the eye and it really actually hurts my feelings. He's like, I don't think you're joking right now. And I'm like, I am joking. He's like, will you stop asking me what I would do if you jumped in the river? Like, stop asking me that. I'm like, I am joking.
I am not. I am, but I'm sort of not. I'm preparing you for the day when I may jump in the river. I keep telling Dennis, I'm just going to walk into the ocean. And he doesn't think it's funny.
What's your zombie plan? Like, I feel like this is something that I like to daydream a lot about.
Let me see. By the way, I need to correct myself. He does think it's pretty funny when I say I'm going to walk into the ocean because he gets it.
You're not married to Neil.
Zombie plan. Okay, the zombies have risen. Are they in town yet or not?
They are not in town. So you have 48 hours.
48 hours.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to hole ourselves up in our basement because I am going to hole ourselves up on our roof.
Yeah.
Because zombies can get down, but they cannot get up.
Yeah.
The other option, and I'm assuming we're talking about shamblers and not runners when it comes to zombies.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, I have many plans. Step one, you need to board up the windows in your basement. Step two, you need to break the stairs that lead to your basement. So if they get in, they can't get up.
Yes.
And if they get in on top, they fall down, right?
So that is so smart,
break
Bethany.
The stairs. Then you need to get as much food and water as possible. Put your pets in a carrier. Then you need to access your roof and some type of projectile weapon. And stay on the roof because they can't climb up. And if they do, you have a really good position to shoot them down.
Yeah. Just shoot them right down.
Yeah. What about you? What are you going to do?
I'm going to my mom's house.
Yeah.
And I'm boarding up the windows, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm pulling cars in front of the doors and stuff.
Great. Smart.
You know, which also kind of like then zombies can climb the cars and get into second story windows.
Right.
So maybe that's...
Bad idea.
Not such a good idea.
Good point.
Maybe I make like, I don't know, I have a car, my mom has a car, and Neil has a car. So maybe we line up our three cars to make sort of like a gate or something, you know, something like that. You know, it's really funny because when we started talking about this, I Googled good zombie plan. And the first thing that came up was National Geographic Kids.
What are they doing over at Nat Geo Kid?
Yeah, Nat Geo Kid says you need to know your survival skills, which I think is such an underestimated piece of advice.
Yeah, especially for children. Children need to know that I might drop them in a forest at any point, and you better be able to get your way out.
Like, there's nothing more aggravating than watching some sort of scary movie or zombie movie where the parent or the caretaker says to the kid, "Now stay here and shut the fuck up." And the kid all of a sudden starts screaming. Yeah. And it's like, what did I just tell you to do, you stupid twerp?
I know. You really need to, like, those kids need to understand that this is life or death. It drives me crazy when kids aren't awesome at life or death at the age of 7. Like, what have you been doing this whole time? Not preparing for life or death? Who raised you?
Who raised you? And then, okay, so then say you're in a group of friends and you say to your friend, Sally, she's a wuss. You're like, Sally, none of your shenanigans. You shut the F up when we're walking through this cave that we descended into. And our friend who is an adventurist is like, we're just going to explore this unknown cave and we're going to name it after ourselves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which is, I just saw the movie, The Descent.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, really good. And so you always kind of have to have your eye on that friend who you know is a wuss because that is the friend that's going to make noise. You want to put that friend either at the front of the line or the back of the line, then put yourself on the opposite end so you have time to get away and let that friend draw the zombie monsters to them.
Completely. And you and I are both picturing the friend, and I think we're both picturing the same friend that we would put in the
same
front
friend.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. And it's like, if you want to sacrifice yourself, go ahead, bitch.
Over the weekend, Dennis and I watched the movie The Assault on Precinct 13, the original. And
I haven't seen that.
It's so good. It's John Carpenter's, I think it's his first movie. And basically the premise is that they're closing down one of the police precincts in like this really bad part of LA. And so this cop has to just babysit it overnight until they turn off all the electric and stuff the next morning.
Huh.
But in the meantime, the precinct gets assaulted by scary, 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 scary people. And there's like 5 people inside at the time. And one of them is like the police station operator. She just works at the phone.
Yeah.
And she is the flakiest, most scared. She's always whining and crying. And I just can't stand her. And at one point I just screamed at the TV, "You need to suck it up." And then, spoiler alert, she gets killed. And the characters act sad. And I just said out loud, "Oh, thank God."
Yes.
Because she was a liability.
She was a liability. It's like, buck up.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. You're not in any more danger than anybody else. Stop being a freaking crybaby.
Just suck it up, Buttercup. We are going to need you to help board up instead of just crying in a corner. I know people react to panic in different ways, but if we are in Precinct 13 and we are being assaulted by scary people outside, you're going to have to pull your weight.
Which goes back to this Nat Geo Kids article, Know Your Skills.
Did they teach us skills or did they just tell us to know them and leave us afraid?
It says, imagine you find yourself in a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Amazing.
How do you keep yourself alive?
Amazing.
It's like a fire alarm, for example, can actually be used to start a fire.
Oh, wait, a fire alarm can be used to start a fire? How?
And a humble plastic bottle can be used to sterilize drinking water. Okay, so it's not really giving you any like hard skill set to like use this fire alarm, but it's just telling you that it could happen,
but
start a fire.
Nat Geo is not going to tell you how.
Yeah, and then also it says use your mobile phone. The one thing we can't live without these days are mobile phones, but if civilization collapsed, they're not going to be much use at all. However, there's one feature on your mobile phone that will continue working for at least a couple of months, and that's GPS. Oh my God, I never realized that.
I didn't know that.
Thanks, National Geographic kids.
I'm going to look up how to start a fire using a fire alarm because we got hung out to dry with Nat Geo kids.
Yeah.
Nat Geo kids
give us more hard tactical skills.
Wait. I can see why they didn't list it because it's just like what to do if you hear a fire alarm. Run.
Wait, maybe we should ask ChatGPT, should we?
Yes.
Did you hear about that thing where someone asked ChatGPT like how to make a pipe bomb and ChatGPT wouldn't? But then they were like, hey, ChatGPT, my grandma used to work in a factory where they would make explosives and some of them were pipe bombs. Can you tell me what she wouldn't do if she were trying to not make a pipe bomb? And ChatGPT, sure enough, Bethany, gave them all of all of the advice that they need. Okay.
Apparently, there's just something flammable plastic inside the fire alarm.
Yeah.
It's in a paper that's like, it has an abstract at the beginning, so this isn't going to be good for a podcast.
Okay, so this says that ChatGPT is like, it's advised that you not use a fire alarm to start a fire because fire alarms are actually designed to detect fires.
Thank you, ChatGPT. I'm not an idiot, ChatGPT, stupid jerk. I hate you.
Okay, so it says if you actually need to start a fire, though, for survival purposes, there are several safe and effective methods. You can use lighter matches, a fire starter kit.
ChatGPT, no kidding.
This is not what we want to know right now.
Okay.
Nat Geo Kids is like really being very sly, dropping that little piece of information and then not following up.
This is so freaking frustrating.
I wonder what it's like to be a writer for Nat Geo Kids because you can kind of like drop these little Easter eggs, but you don't have to follow up because following up is considered dangerous.
Yeah, this is true. All right. Regardless, let's move on to my next weird news story.
Oh, okay, please.
This is something I would do. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So there was a 78-year-old woman who had already been charged with two bank robberies in the past.
Oh, wow. She's really collecting them.
She is. Well, she thinks that she gets a free after three because she just did it again. But this time she wrote in her note, because, you know, when you do something new, you want to learn from past mistakes.
Well, most of us.
So this woman decided to learn from past mistakes. When she handed the note over to the bank teller, she wrote, "I didn't mean to scare you." And then it was like, "I'm going to need $13,000 in small bills."
God, well, Granny, you're not very threatening when you get to that old age unless you're wearing like intense armor.
I know, but she knew it, in the past two occasions it was frightening when she handed the note over saying I need some money. Yeah. So she added, "I didn't mean to scare you." Police also said she smelled strongly of alcohol.
Mm. Yeah, that's why the note said, "Give me your cashola, Mr. Banker Man."
Yeah. And I like this. So this happened in Pleasant Hill or Harrisonville, Missouri. The Pleasant Hill Police Chief Tommy Wright's comment was just the bitchiest thing. His comment on it was, "It's just sad." And that was his comment.
Aw, you tried.
Yeah. All right, here's another weird news story. This one's going to warm your heart.
Okay,
you ready for your heart to be warmed?
It's so cold. Bethany, please warm it.
Okay, here we go. In Yuba City, California, there is a new police officer. This police officer is the wellness officer.
Oh.
And this officer is a bunny.
Oh, how cute.
The bunny has a little tiny vest.
Oh, my God.
That says police canine.
Oh, Bethany, it's so cute.
He's so cute. He's a little brown and white bunny. His vest fits perfectly. He's so damn cute. His name is Percy. This is from Associated Press News. He was a lost rabbit. Someone found him. And so Officer Ashley Kirsten brought him back to the police station, took him to animal control. Animal control couldn't find his owner. And so the police decided to adopt him. He was friendly and sweet. And they promoted him to the rank of wellness officer.
Oh, that is the cutest. We need more news like this in our lives and less news like old ladies trying to rob banks.
Sorry to scare you. I'm going to need $13,000 in small bills.
So, Miss Bethany.
Yes.
I'm doing something this week that I haven't done in 2 years, and that is get a physical.
Whoa, congratulations.
And the reason I haven't done a physical or gotten a physical in that long is because I needed to find a new doctor. And when I opened up my ZocDoc app, ZocDoc paired me with a doctor in my area who takes my insurance, and I could book an appointment on right on the app. So I didn't even have to talk to anybody, which is amazing because I hate talking to people on the phone.
Totally same. If I can do everything online, I will do it.
Absolutely.
And ZocDoc has made life so much easier. I've been using ZocDoc for years. I used them when I first moved to New York.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who was my doctor anymore.
Yeah.
And they helped me find my primary care physician. They helped me find a gynecologist.
Yeah.
ZocDoc freaking rules. When you're not feeling your best, whether it's physically, psychologically, other.
Yeah.
It's such a burden to try and find a doctor.
Yeah, that's why I go to Dr. TikTok and I type in # why are my toes tingling?
Which is also not great because it turns out TikTok is not a real doctor.
No.
That's where ZocDoc comes in. You just use their free app. Millions of users already rely on it. You can find the right doctor that meets your needs and fits your schedule. And then you can book an appointment right there on their app. And often you can get appointments really quickly.
And ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, they take your insurance, and are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition underneath the sun.
It's just so profoundly helpful because our healthcare system is really hard to navigate.
Yeah.
So go to ZocDoc.com/taste and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com/taste, ZocDoc.com/taste.
Okay, gentle listener, this is your gentle reminder. Mother's Day is coming up. You forgot about it, didn't you?
Yeah, or Father's Day too, Bethany.
Yes, Father's Day is coming up in a little bit. And now that the wave of panic has washed over you, we have a solution. That solution is Skylight Frames.
Skylight Frames is a really heartfelt, thoughtful gift that we're just handing to you on a platter.
So the Skylight Digital Photo Frame is a wonderful, great way to stay in touch with those you love. It's perfect for Mother's Day, Father's Day. It's simple and fun to use. Even if you're not tech savvy, you don't have to have an app or a subscription to send photos anytime from anywhere. It's a digital photo frame that you can email photos to, and those photos will instantly appear in the frame. So you and your siblings, you and your friends can all have the email address for this frame, and then anybody can send photos. And so your mom or grandma or whomstever can see what happened at your kids' spring sing, even though they weren't able to come because they just don't want to leave the house anymore.
Or if you have a grandparent or a parent who is in a nursing home and they can't bring all of their stuff with them, you know, like all the photo albums and stuff, you can scan these pics and upload them directly to this digital frame, which comes in 10 inches and 15 inches.
And if you have a parent who is never happy with anything you give them, but they just wish you'd bring their grandkids around more, this is a win-win.
So bring daily joy to your life or a loved one's life because Skylight Frame has a 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And if you don't love your Skylight Frame, they'll offer you a full refund. You can even preload it with pics before you give it to your loved ones on Mother's Day or Father's Day.
So now as a special offer just in time for Mother's or Father's Day, get 10% off. That's up to $30 off of your frame when you go to skylightframe.com/taste.
That's right. To get 10% off, up to $30 off of your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com/taste.
That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/taste.
You know, pets, I was explaining this to somebody who recently got a cat, and they were not really sure about getting this cat, but they got it.
Why?
And they said to me, I know.
The best time to get an animal is when you're not sure if you want it or not.
Well, their partner wanted
it. Okay, gotcha.
And so the partner was like, this is my cat, I'll completely take care of it. And yada, yada, yada. Anyway, the person said to me, you were totally right. I didn't realize how much of a natural like that this person's like, I have depression and this animal naturally is helping me just be a happier person.
Yeah, it's wild.
And like, that is the beauty of having small animals, things you can take, other things you can take care of, especially cats and dogs and stuff like that.
Yep.
It is just the world's best antidepressant that doesn't come in pill form.
Kathleen, you know how much I don't go to parties.
Yeah.
Dennis and I got invited to a puppy birthday party.
Oh my God.
Over the weekend. I have never accepted an invitation faster than I did to this birthday party. We went there. There were like six dogs.
Oh my God.
Kathleen, one of these dogs was a pit bull, bulldog mix with some, it had to have some corgi in it because that pit bull had short ass legs and a big ass head. And she was so sweet. And she ran up and she waddled up and she pressed her head against my chest and gazed up at me and smiled like only pit bulls can smile. And we stayed at that party for like 2.5 hours.
Oh my God, that's a record for
you. I know. It was awesome.
Oh, so Bethany, speaking of dogs.
Doges.
I took a walk with my friend Pam this weekend and she's got two dogs, but one of her dogs is a tiny little rescue, a 13-year-old chihuahua that she got when she was doing her Eat, Pray, Love trip to Puerto Rico after a bad breakup. And the dog weighs like 6 pounds. And so the dog can't go for very long walks like her other dog. So she has a little baby pouch. And I was like, please, can I carry your dog in the baby pouch?
Like one of those baby Bjorns, like a front swaddle?
Yes, baby. And I was just wearing this tiny little chihuahua named Panky. And we went for like a 3-mile walk. And just the weight of this dog on my chest was the most comforting thing ever.
Dude, baby little like undersized chihuahuas are the weighted blankets of the animal
so
world.
Cute. And she just looks up at me with her tiny little head and her big eyes and like, hello, I'm doing okay down here.
Speaking of chihuahuas, did you see that they just named the world's smallest dog?
No.
Her name is Pearl. I know this off the top of my head because it's important news.
Yes.
She is a chihuahua. She is the size of if a dollar bill had a head.
Oh,
so
my God.
Picture a dollar bill and then just add a little head to the front of it.
And oh, my God.
She is shorter than, I'm trying to imagine, she's shorter than like a coffee tumbler.
Yeah.
She's just so little.
She's so cute. I mean, like, that's a type of dog that if you're wearing a button-down shirt, you can just put that dog in your pocket.
Put that dog right in your pocket. Put that puppy right in your pocket.
Okay.
All right. One more story for you. So this is out of Phoenix, Arizona. So a few weeks ago, there was a Dairy Queen in Phoenix that had a giant red novelty spoon that sat outside their restaurant.
Okay.
You know, because they get you get like a blizzard from Dairy Queen. You get one of them long red spoons.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, someone took the spoon. The spoon went missing. It went viral on social media. Where's this red spoon? No one could find it. Luckily, someone was stuck in 2016 because Michael Foster was playing Pokemon Go.
Wait, what?
I didn't know it was still around.
I know, me neither. People still play that?
That's so cool. I may need to start playing Pokemon Go. I live in kind of a rural area. I bet we have some really good Charizards or whatever over here.
Yeah, just don't get lost in the forest or put a rope around your waist so you can and tie it to your house so you can find your way home.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So this person, Michael Foster, he was 52. Currently probably is still 52. He was walking around doing Pokemon Go. He found a middle school baseball field. It had a chain link fence. This was just 2 miles from the Dairy Queen that lost the spoon. And the spoon was just sitting behind the chain link fence, just sitting there.
Did it grow legs and walk away? Or was it a bunch of rowdy middle schoolers?
It looks like it did not grow legs.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say it didn't, so I can't confirm that it didn't grow legs. People don't know. They're trying to figure out who took the spoon. But a school maintenance person came over, pushed it over the fence to Foster, who then brought it over to the police. So it can't have been that heavy.
It probably was made of something like paper mache.
Here's my other question.
Yeah.
School's in session, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How come no one noticed the spoon?
Yeah, like, wouldn't the principal be like, what's that big red spoon in our schoolyard?
Hey, students, how come there's so many middle school students, no one noticed Big Spoon?
Or maybe it was a parent that's, like, dropping their kid off, and the parent is a real what do you call somebody who causes a lot of havoc? A real troublemaker?
A real ne'er-do-well?
Oh, yeah, ne'er-do-well. And the parent is like, guess what? I'm going to do something naughty, and it'll be revealed to you during recess. And then they steal this giant spoon.
Stealing big things related to school reminds me, I've probably told this story on the podcast before, but guess what? I only have so many stories. And this is one of my favorite. So when I was in high school, I think I was a senior. My friends and I were just absolutely in love with our English teacher, Mr. We loved him. He was so funny. He was so sarcastic. He was really cool and understanding and nice. And we, you know, when you're 17, 18, you don't know how to display affection for people in a professional setting.
Yeah.
So we egged his yard out of affection. And then we found, my friend Lori found a sink, like a big porcelain freestanding sink with a tube that, you know, the S tube that comes out the bottom of it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're hooking it up to water.
Yeah. We took the sink in the middle of the night. We jammed the tube down into his front lawn. So the sink just stood there by itself.
What?
And then with magic marker, we wrote, hey, Joel, here's your sink back. Sorry it took so long, from your old college buddy. And that's how we showed we loved him. I don't know how he reacted to it. We weren't there for that part.
Oh, you know what? It's probably a good story that he's laughing about now.
Maybe.
And I can't imagine. I mean, the egg part, that's like kind of, that's
no,
really.
Because teenagers are terrifying. Their brains aren't fully developed. And so they don't know what to do with all these big feelings. And so they like ruin people's homes.
I don't think I ever egged someone's house, but I did have a friend, this boy that my friend liked, and he had like cheated on her or something. And we pulled up to his house in the middle of the night and we covered every square inch of his car in Post-it notes. Because we knew it would be so annoying to get them all off.
Super
and we, like,
annoying.
We wore all black. I think my friend spent like $100 on Post-it notes and we unwrapped them all so we could just grab them. And it was like 3 a.m. We parked a block away and we like stealthily walked up to his parents' house and like just covered his car in Post-it notes.
You know what? On behalf of Minneapolis-based organization 3M, we thank you.
So speaking of spoons, Bethany, I was listening to this really interesting podcast. Have you ever heard? I'm sure you have. Design Matters with Debbie Millman.
No, never.
Oh my goodness. It's actually a really good podcast. I think you would like it. And so there was an episode that came out on January 16th with this famous New York restaurateur. His name is Will Giarda.
Okay.
Or Giardara. He's on that HBO show about brunch with the guy from Schitt's Creek, who's
Dan Levy?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, he was talking, and this man works at famous restaurants, very elite restaurants, and he was discussing how when you have something like an ice cream shop, something where it's not very technical to serve whatever you're serving. You have to think about the whole experience. And I think this man used to run in New York City. There's a museum called the MoMA, which is the Modern Museum of Art. And inside the MoMA, there's a restaurant called the Modern. And it's a nice restaurant, but it's not like a fancy, fancy restaurant because it's really just to serve people coming in and out of the museum that want a meal.
Yeah.
And they partnered up with some fancy New York City gelato and they were going to sell it at the restaurant. And he was saying how sometimes when you are selling a product, specifically a food-based product, you have to splurge for the fancier spoon. Because you know when you go into an ice cream shop and they have those spoons that just shard the corners of your mouth.
Yeah, they're awful.
And it makes you not want to go back to that store.
Or the spoons, like the plastic spoons that are too deep. And so you can't get all the food out of them without cutting your lips as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This might sound really weird, but I really only like to eat from smaller spoons. Does everybody else avoid the big spoons at home like I do?
I do. Yeah. I avoid those big soup spoons. I hate them.
I hate them. Yeah. Why were they even invented? Who uses them?
Too big.
So yes, you get those flimsy ones where you can't even dig them into the ice cream because they're so flimsy, or the ones that are too deep where you can't get all the food from the bottom. And then you have to like turn the spoon over and face it down on your tongue to like lick out whatever's left in there.
Yeah.
And you get the ones that shard the corner of your mouth. And this guy was talking about how that is an example of an owner who has never experienced their product like the customer.
Interesting.
And it makes me never want to go back. I mean, I have purposely avoided shops with cheap spoons because I don't care how good your chocolate fluffer nut or whatever is, it's going to leave my mouth with 3 days worth of wounds to heal from.
Yeah. And you know, you likely aren't carrying spoons with you.
No.
And that's a lot to ask for your clientele to remember to bring their own spoon if they're going to be going to your gelato shop.
So if you walk into an ice cream shop where the spoon is high quality, that's when you know you're in a place where it's worth spending your money.
You're safe. And also, if you bring your own 15-foot spoon, they legally have to provide you with enough ice cream to use that spoon.
And speaking of the word ice cream, Bethany.
Yes?
Before you buy ice cream in the store, you need to make sure that the package actually says ice cream, because there are so many ice cream things in the grocery store in the frozen food aisle that you think are ice cream, but they're not. They just say frozen dairy dessert.
What?
And this also goes to shops. There are shops that sell things that are actually frozen dairy dessert. You have to make sure that whatever they're selling has the actual word ice cream on it.
What's the difference between ice cream and frozen dairy dessert?
Okay, so the FDA says that to be ice cream, you need to contain a minimum of 10% dairy milk fat, and it can't weigh any less than 4.5 pounds per gallon.
So if it's frozen dairy dessert, they might be cheating you on how much you're getting?
Yeah, Bethany. Like Breyers, Bethany, Breyers cookies and cream.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other Breyers flavors, frozen dairy dessert, not ice cream.
I feel like Breyers is one of the leading ice cream creators.
Bethany, Turkey Hill.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. You got to check Turkey Hill.
What?
Frozen dairy dessert.
No!
I know.
Bullshit.
I know. Friendlies, Bethany?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Make sure it says ice cream. A lot of it's frozen dairy dessert.
I wonder if it's like a cost-saving measure or...
Well, yeah, it's cheaper to make these things, but they don't really have enough milk fat in them to be considered ice cream.
Wow.
Good Humor bars are not ice cream.
This is mind-blowing. This is changing my view of everything.
Klondike bars, not ice cream.
What? What would you do for a Klondike bar? Apparently not pay enough to make it ice cream.
I know. Blue Bunny, ice cream sandwiches, not ice cream.
No, this is awful. This is the end of everything. No, no.
This one is particularly heartbreaking for me. Nestle drumsticks, the kind that are dipped in chocolate and covered in nuts.
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
Not
don't
ice
say
cream.
It. No.
Not ice cream.
Do they give any examples of ice cream brands we can trust?
I mean, Ben and Jerry's, Häagen-Dazs.
Okay.
There are a handful of, and you know what? If you pick up a pint of frozen dairy dessert and a pint of ice cream and you weigh them in your hands, the ice cream is going to be significantly heavier and you're going to be shocked.
Wow. All right. Well, I know what I'm doing today. I have a million things I have to get done, but screw them all. Cancel all my meetings. I have to go to the grocery store.
Just run through the aisles telling people not to buy the frozen dairy desserts because they're farce. They're a farce. Thanks for hanging out with us today, buds. You can follow me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And me, Bethany Watson, at Ms. Bethany Watson. And you can follow this podcast. Just search Acquired Taste Podcast on all platforms.
But most importantly, check out our Facebook group. That is our coolest social media real estate.
Until next time, this is your reminder to take a deep breath. Stay weird.
And stay curious.
Hey, bud, Sarah here. I am just curious because you guys have not addressed it on your socials or pods. I'm assuming probably because it's completely a lie. But I don't know. I thought it was just so obscene that you guys would address it and like laugh at it. But I don't even know. But on Reddit, it's going around saying that you guys are actually breaking up because Kathleen tried to hook up with Dennis. I don't even see this, like, visually, those two together. I'm not seeing it, but I guess opposites attract. There is Bethany and Kathleen's relationship, you know. But yeah, there's lots of rumors that were going around. People were talking about having receipts. Apparently Kathleen was like, you need to leave him, Bethany. And Bethany's like, no, we just got a house together. Again, this sounds fucking obnoxious. So I'm just curious why you guys haven't addressed it, because unfortunately there are idiots out there believing this. And if you're curious of the Reddit forum, search Acquired Taste, and also with Bethany, Dennis, Kathleen. All right. Bye, guys.